now with that ABC News exclusive. Tech mogul John McAfee going one-on-one with our correspondent, speaking out for the first time in 4 years about the 2012 murder of his neighbor in Belize and whether he was involved. ABC's Matt Gutman tracked him down and joins us now. Good morning.
Fear made John McAfee rich. It also ruined him. The British-born U.S. technology entrepreneur John McAfee had the idea to start a company to fight computer viruses. And in 1987, he founded the antivirus computer protection software we now know today. However, McAfee sold his stake in the company in 1994 and began to make public appearances and pursue a few different projects. McAfee, who said in 2018 that he had fathered at least 47 children, lived in Belize for several years. He fled the country after police sought him for questioning in the 2012 murder of a neighbor. They ultimately said he was not a suspect. Brace yourselves, as today we'll cover the myriad of charges against McAfee, his attempt to flee the United States and escape with a yacht full of girls, guns, and a lot of drugs. We'll talk about the cryptocurrency frenzy and his tax fraud. McAfee had long claimed U.S. authorities were trying to kill him. He had $WHACKED tattooed on his arm in reference to a belief his murder would be made to look like a suicide. After his arrest in Spain and a short stint in a Spanish prison, McAfee was found hanging in his cell. Did he know too much, or did he not want to face the music on the 30-year prison sentence he was facing on American soil? Find out now. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to Tax Crime Junkies. This is part two of a roller coaster story, the life, death, and tax crimes of John McAfee. He was a tech pioneer who made millions and a libertarian who stood up for marginalized communities. But he was also a fugitive on the run who claimed to be hunted by government agencies and drug cartels. His life was full of color and controversy. And we unpacked a lot of it in episode one, but today we're going to pick up where we left off on the last one and find out what exactly happened to the dead dogs in McAfee's backyard.
That's right, Dominique. We're also going to cover his death and the conspiracies behind it. We'll see if there's any validity to them and see what else we can discover about John McAfee and his illustrious life of crimes and contradictions.
No kidding. For those of you joining us today, welcome to Tax Crime Junkies. I'm your host, Dominique. I'm a CPA, certified tax strategist. I have an interest in true crimes, and I have a degree in law and lead the American Institute of Certified Tax Planners. And with me today is my oh-so-lovable co-host, Tom Gorzinski.
Hey, everyone. As always, thank you so much for being here today with us. If you're not aware of who I am, I'm an enrolled agent. I'm admitted to practice before the United States Tax Court as a non-attorney. I'm a tax instructor. And like you, I have a real interest in true crime. So we decided to create a true crime podcast to combine our love of mysteries, whodunits, and tax. We are the Tax Crime Junkies.
Let's dive right in, Tom. What happened with those dogs?
The story of John McAfee is full of twists and turns, danger, and intrigue. In this episode, we're going to dive deeper into his life, further explore the rise to fame, his personal demons, and his flight from the law. In 2012, he was arrested in Guatemala, having been on the run in Belize, where police were investigating the death of his neighbor. He always denied any involvement in the murder, but allegations and suspicions of law enforcement were still looming. His denial was so adamant, He even went on the Joe Rogan podcast and offered anyone with information about the death a $25,000 reward for information leading to the arrest, hoping that he could get his name cleared as a suspect. Or was he using this as a way of hiding his guilt?
That sounds pretty smart, if you ask me. I guess diabolical. After going through some documents, one of the New York Times articles actually said a Florida court ordered McAfee to pay $25 million after ruling against him in a wrongful death lawsuit, which was filed by Mr. Fall's estate. Mr. Fall is the neighbor. And in response, McAfee went to Twitter saying he was not paying and called the judgment part of the trial a legal extortion game aimed at America's wealthy class. He also stated he was never a suspect of murder by the authorities of Belize or elsewhere, but Belize authorities say differently. He went on a tweet fest explaining that he's not voting for anyone in the 2020 election because, and this is a quote, "Why would I choose one person over another to control me? Slave masters are the same. We are numbers rather than people, irrespective of the master." And that's an ironic statement from somebody who ran for president as a libertarian.
He certainly had a lot of drama in his life, but he will be remembered as an important figure in the development of the technology scene of the 80s and 90s, and for helping to create a multi-billion dollar industry. He will also be remembered, however, as a deeply controversial figure who at times seemed intent on taking a path in life that would lead to trouble.
I'd call him a daredevil.
Yes.
Because before he went underground, Mr. McAfee led a noisy, opulent, and increasingly stressful life. He was known for the retinue of prostitutes whom he says moved in and out of his house. He employed guards, some of whom stood watch on the beach abutting his house. He also strangely kept a pack of vicious dogs on his property. They barked nonstop and they sometimes bit at people who passed by.
Speaking of those dogs, weirdly enough, 2 days before the murder of Mr. Fall, someone had poisoned a handful of those dogs. As it happens, Mr. Fall had just before that complained about the animals, as well as the guards and the constant late night inflow and outflow of taxis on the dirt path that ran between his home and Mr. McAfee's home.
The records actually show Mr. Fall had shown up at a town council office a couple of weeks prior, and he had a letter that was decrying the dogs, as well as McAfee's guns and his erratic behavior, and nothing came of it.
Well, something came of it. McAfee found out, and he went on his blog to rant about Belize being corrupt and how the people there are eager to kill him. He then joked, supposedly, about taking drugs and rage killing his neighbor. The internet got a hold of those jokes, and it didn't help him in the civil court findings.
I bet. Not only that, but McAfee didn't help his case when he went into a 3-day hiding to avoid questioning by police. The police instead decided to arrest McAfee's bodyguard and the wife of the bodyguard, and they did so on firearm charges and hoped that would bring him out of hiding.
So what exactly happened to Gregory Fall, and that's the neighbor?
Well, as we said last time, the court documents show that he was found by his housekeeper on a Sunday morning, lying in a pool of his own blood with a gunshot wound to his head. He was lying in the hallway of his home, and his phone and laptop were both missing. The criminal investigation remains open, but as we said before, he got ordered to pay $25 million to the Fall estate.
You know, Dominique, I still can't get over the fact that he was so adamant about Belize authorities extorting him and trying to extract money out of him.
Well, apparently the U.S. too, because that's where the judgment was, right? And I don't think Belize was very fond of him either, because the country's prime minister was totally fed up with his antics and called McAfee bonkers. I wonder how that translates. Do they speak English in Belize, or do they speak Spanish? What's the Spanish word for bonkers?
That's a really great question. I do not know.
Even the mayor suggested that McAfee is living in a movie in his head, and he's too busy enjoying the movie to ever come back down to reality.
I can't believe it. This guy's life is a movie. No wonder he actually sold the rights to his name to do a movie about him. So shortly after McAfee fled from his Belize property, there was still a groundskeeper being paid to maintain and look after the property. After all, it was worth about $1.7 million. One afternoon, two men were there working on a new addition to the property, and they pointed to the spot the dead dogs were buried. The two workers had heard the story about the dogs being poisoned, and McAfee deciding to shoot them in the head to put them out of their misery. Not only that, but the two workers also shared that the police came by recently and dug up the dogs and cut their heads off. The government did this because they were looking for bullets in their heads. Guess what? To compare with the bullet that killed Mr. Fall, the neighbor. And we never got the results of that testing.
Ew, that is really bloody. And the fact that it now comes out that he shot his own dogs to put them out of their misery. Do you see anything, Tom, about why he chose to move to Belize in the first place?
I do. In 2008, not only was McAfee being wiped out financially during the Great Recession, you know, stock market assets going down, the real estate market going down, but he was also named in a wrongful death lawsuit by the family of Robert Gilson, a 61-year-old who died in a crash of an aerotrekker piloted by Mr. McAfee's nephew, who also was killed. McAfee owned the flight school in Rodeo, New Mexico. Now, here's where it gets interesting. A lawyer for the Gilson family says Mr. McAfee might have poor-mouthed his own fortune and left for Belize as part of a legal strategy. He's quoted as saying the following, quote, "I think McAfee believes that because the U.S. and Belize don't have a bilateral treaty, that a judgment in a U.S. court is worthless in Belize. I don't think he's right about that," end quote.
Yeah, and despite the lawyer's words, McAfee was super gung-ho about Belize and bought a number of properties on the mainland, as well as that $1.7 million villa in Ambergris Cay, right near Gregory Fall.
Speaking of Gregory Fall, a lot more of the story makes sense now when we're looking at the full picture. Mr. Spiegel was a man who would paint a picture for us to see what was really going on with McAfee during his time in Belize. He is also a man who feared that Gregory Fall would wind up as a footnote in the story of his own death. He praised Mr. Fall, stating, quote, "He was the kind of guy who could walk into a bar knowing nobody and leaving with a dozen friends," unquote. Mr. Spiegel then went on to describe Mr. McAfee as a long-standing, uncomfortable situation and would be standing on the beach at night holding a shotgun, shining a flashlight in your face, leaning up against a tree, and would spook away tourists.
Can you imagine being described as a long-standing, uncomfortable situation? John McAfee sounds unbearable to live next to, especially when you also bring aggressive dogs into the picture. Now, I love dogs.
Yes.
I have a pet, but he's not aggressive. And Mr. Spiegel didn't even rule out the fact that Mr. Fall may have poisoned the dogs because there was a legitimate problem that wasn't being addressed. Mr. Spiegel then pointed to one of his legs, and there were two dime-sized purple marks about an inch apart that were on his leg from one of McAfee's dogs. And he said he had been bitten 4 years ago and still had these wounds. His comment was, "I'm sure you can see this isn't some tribal neighborly dispute."
During the last 2 years of his time in Belize, Mr. McAfee's wild ways were escalating and accelerating. It was reported he had a volatile relationship with a young prostitute who helped convince him that the surrounding town was riddled with crime and a hub of narco trafficking. This prompted a one-man Gary Cooper-style campaign to impose a bit of law and order, probably with his shotgun and flashlight. He confronted local thugs. He converted a local brothel into a bar and a family swimming pool area. He even bought a building and outfitted it as a police station. McAfee was all over the place. Someone needed to get him a Netflix account so he could just chill.
That's hilarious, Tom. Most of the locals there were weary of this crusade. They could see what was going on and see through all of these grand deeds that McAfee was doing. And the police were initially appreciative, but even they decided to keep a certain distance from it. And they never even used the police station he built. Maybe they use it now that he's gone.
Right.
But they thought it came with strings attached. I mean, nothing's free. And they didn't want John McAfee to be involved with their day-to-day affairs as the police.
Among the police, mistrust hardened into suspicion as Mr. McAfee added even more security guards to his compound as he started to win over or actually negotiate truces with local drug dealers.
This has got to be another layer of the cake as to why McAfee always felt a sense of persecution by Belize authorities.
I mean, no kidding, right?
So we know at some point McAfee abandons his 20-year-old girlfriend and the vice journalist in Guatemala after he flees Belize, and he winds up back in the U.S., and he ran for president.
Twice.
McAfee campaigned as a libertarian and went on shows like Larry King Live to promote his cause, first in 2016 and then again for the 2020 election. His campaign slogan was, "Here's to the crazy ones." That's what the New York Times reported anyway. And of course, he lost both times.
That's really shocking, Dominic. That's all I got to say about that. He now famously said in 2017 that he would eat his penis on live television if the price of Bitcoin didn't reach $1 million by the end of 2020. McAfee got really into crypto and, in fact, was the CEO of MGT, and McAfee used Twitter often to post about his crypto moves. The U.S. Justice Department indicted McAfee on June 15, 2020, alleging tax evasion and willful failure to file tax returns for millions of dollars of income he earned via speaking engagements and other crypto-related projects. When he was asked why he never filed a tax return or had paid his taxes, McAfee said, quote, "I just had enough. I paid $50 million in income tax over the years. Thought that was plenty. I hadn't paid tax since I went to Belize, but technically, as an American citizen, even though you're not living in the country, using the services and driving on the roads, you still have to file and pay 30% of your income to the United States. The only two countries in the world that enforce that rule are the United States and Eritrea. How friggin' bizarre is that? Anyway, I just said, I'm sorry, this is insane. I'm not doing this anymore. For a while, nothing happened."
But we know the tax man always cometh, right, Tom?
Well, it's just a matter of time, especially with a high-profile person like John McAfee. Wasn't he also charged by the feds or SEC in his crypto dealings as well?
Yes. The allegations brought forth by the Justice Department alleged that McAfee, along with a business associate, utilized McAfee's Twitter account so that they could promote different types of cryptocurrency. And we know that he's got a huge following on Twitter, and we've seen this with other very famous, well-followed celebrities who are kind of doing these pump and dump schemes. But what lay beneath the surface was a scheme carefully crafted to deceive potential investors. So prosecutors claimed that intentionally McAfee and his team concealed their own financial interests while touting these digital assets, leading unsuspecting investors astray. This fraud scheme is called a pump and dump, and it saw McAfee and his partners purchasing huge quantities of cryptocurrency at low prices. And then they would leverage the popularity of McAfee's Twitter account, and they would promote this so that they could inflate the prices of these tokens through false and misleading endorsements. So the investors were given this false assurance that McAfee and his team would disclose their ownership if they had any, you know, which kind of added an air of trust to their recommendations. But the prosecutors alleged that the assurances were nothing more than empty promises, because as the prices of those promoted cryptocurrencies soared, McAfee and his associates executed the dump phase of their scheme. They sold off their holdings while it's at a higher price. He gets substantial profits, and he leaves investors holding those assets whose long-term value significantly declined. So prosecutors claim that McAfee and his partners engaged in this scalping scheme between December 2017 and January 2018, which really kind of spun this web of deceit that victimized investors and lined their own pockets.
Let me guess. We know with McAfee's past, he did one thing when the authorities come a-knocking, and that is he...
takes off.
He did flee the country, of course, in 2019, so it seems like he was trying to avoid prosecution at all costs.
Now, Tom, you and I are in the reading business, and I can assure you that there is no way that he read over 2,000 altcoin white papers. And that's really what the requirement is when you get into some of these digital currency promotion tactics. You're bound by the SEC rules that cover investments. You have to disclose when you are connected materially to what you're promoting, and you have to disclose if you're going to make money on that deal and how you're going to make money on the deal, and you have to disclose a certain technical information about the investment itself. So to me, it's clear that he knew what he was doing when it came to the scheming, because he and his partner submitted an application online to open the account with the digital asset exchange located in the Southern District of New York. And they did that so they could liquidate these digital asset proceeds of the scalping scheme. Get this, Tom. In January of 2018, a McAfee team member sent an email to the Southern District of New York exchange in which he identified himself as, quote, an employee of John McAfee. And this employee, or so-called employee, threatened to sue the SDNY exchange for rejecting that application.
Wow. I always find it ironic when criminals threaten to sue someone else. Did John McAfee end up getting caught and detained?
Yeah, he was on the run for quite some time, but eventually he was arrested in Spain. He made it to Spain by way of the Dominican Republic. The feds were looking for him and turned him into the feds in the Dominican Republic, who intercepted his yacht, they charged him and arrested him with gun charges because his yacht was full of all these weapons.
Wow.
And since McAfee actually has a dual citizenship, he requested to be deported to the UK as opposed to the US because he knew he had pending charges here.
Right.
So he finds his way back to the UK, but he was finally arrested in Spain, and that was in October of 2020. And they started these extradition proceedings to the US. That happened in March of 21. He was, of course, he pleaded not guilty to the tax evasion charges. And again, he made those claims that he's being persecuted by the government, more like being prosecuted by the government, in my opinion.
I mean, it seems like the evidence against him is pretty strong. I mean, he did not file income tax returns, right? What are some of the other charges against him?
Yeah, I mean, that's pretty clear. You got to pay the taxes, you got to file. Sure. So the charges range from things we've seen before, Tom, wire fraud, money laundering, conspiracy, securities and touting fraud conspiracy, and scalping. The indictment alleges that he earned over $23 million from 2014 to 2018, and he owed over $4 million in taxes, penalties, and interest. And if he was convicted, he could face up to 30 years in prison in addition to the tax due and the fines and penalties.
Well, unfortunately, you have to be alive to go to prison. And John McAfee is no longer alive.
Yeah, it's really sad. It's just seems like a disgraceful life. He was found dead in his prison cell in Barcelona, and it was just a couple of hours after a Spanish court agreed to extradite him to the U.S. so he could face his tax evasion charges.
I remember hearing about that. There was just a lot of buzz going on the internet about him being killed off just like Jeffrey Epstein was.
Yeah, he was also found hanging. So there's that coincidence as well. And I think some of this is just stirred up by John McAfee himself, you know, leading up to his arrest and his imprisonment there in Spain while waiting to be extradited. He was still messaging people on Twitter and posting public messages saying, I'm not suicidal. If anybody tells you I committed suicide, it wasn't me. He got that tattoo that says $ right. Whacked. And the tattoo was supposed to represent that he didn't kill himself. So he was kind of creating this lure, this mystery around his own death. All right, so we covered the roller coaster ride of a life that this man has lived. And now we should switch gears here and unpack his death and the conspiracy behind it. So let's talk a little bit more about that. Tom, will you do the honors?
Yeah, let's review a little bit what we just talked about, give some more information. John McAfee passed away on June 23rd, 2021, in a Spanish prison, a penitentiary near Barcelona. He was awaiting extradition to the United States to face his tax charges. His death was ruled a suicide by hanging. Again, that's where the Epstein connections come in. And in fact, during the days leading up to his death, McAfee tweeted several times from prison, including messages expressing his gratitude to his supporters and explicitly claiming he was not suicidal.
And that's super interesting on its own, Tom. One, because I didn't know you can have a cell phone in jail to tweet anything.
Right.
And two, since his death, there have been various conspiracy theories surrounding the circumstances of his demise. Some of the theories talk about he was murdered. Other people propose that he faked his own death so he could evade prosecution or to make a political statement. So they're saying he's really alive. Some of the factors that have fueled these conspiracies include his own previous statements that he would never commit suicide. You know, he's claimed for years that he had information that could bring down governments. There are also reports that he had been receiving death threats and was paranoid about being followed.
I remember even his wife being vocal about his suicide. I had to look up what she said to give an accurate account. After his death, Janice McAfee stated that she did not believe that her husband was suicidal and that he had not shown any signs of depression or suicidal thoughts. In an interview with ABC News, after his death, Janice McAfee stated that she had spoken to her husband on the day of his death and he sounded fine. She also revealed that she received a letter from him in which he stated he was not suicidal and that he loved her. Janice McAfee criticized the media coverage of her husband's death and the speculation surrounding it because she felt it was sensationalistic and very insensitive to the family's grief. She believed the media was more interested in promoting conspiracy theories, which of course generate social media clicks, rather than reporting the actual facts of the case. In a tweet shortly after her husband's death, Janice wrote, "I cannot begin to describe this pain I am feeling, and I cannot answer any questions at this time. I will say that this was not suicide. No matter what they want you to believe, words cannot express how much I loved and still love him. I am heartbroken." She has urged people to respect the family's privacy and to allow them to grieve in peace.
In case you're wondering if John's wife is a former prostitute of his, she put up a tweet that said, "I've never been a prostitute, have never had any affiliation with prostitution. I find the allegations and rumors hurtful and damaging to me and my family."
That's a good piece of information though, Dom. Thanks. You know, there is also one really fascinating part of his death. His Twitter account shared a posthumous message claiming he had hidden cryptocurrency assets worth millions of dollars. The message read, quote, "I have good friends. The assets are hidden. They will be distributed in the coming weeks. I got nothing to hide. I am content in here. I have friends. The food is good. All is well. Know that if I hang myself a la Epstein, it will be no fault of mine," unquote. Now, it's worth noting the authenticity of the message has not been independently verified, and there's really no concrete evidence to support the claim that McAfee had hidden crypto assets.
Well, except that we know he made a bunch of money off of crypto.
Yes.
The widow, Janice McAfee, also denied that her late husband had any hidden cryptocurrency assets. From her Twitter, she said, "There's no hidden information or assets. We've been discussing the events of the past week in detail, and the desire for truth is paramount. We'll continue to share details as they unfold." And no other details have been shared then. So I guess like most things associated with cryptocurrencies, we're left to speculate. And it's all John McAfee's fault. He's still getting us right beyond the grave.
Wow, Dom, what a story, right?
Absolutely. He is a piece of work. And I actually highly recommend that you watch the documentary on him. There's several that you can choose from. I also read two books on his life there. McAfee was the subject of several documentaries, including Gringo, The Dangerous Life of John McAfee, and The Dark Side of the 90s, John McAfee. I personally saw Gringo and Runnin' with the Devil, and it blew me away. That Runnin' with the Devil documentary is the footage that the Vice journalists captured while they were actually on the run with him when they fled to Guatemala.
This episode, Dom, it blew me away. So many layers to it, and I'm glad we were able to cover it all with you today. Do us a favor if you love the show. Hit that subscribe button so you never miss a new episode. We really appreciate you being here and can't wait to see you on the next one.
Take care, everyone.